And yes, 90.7 FM WGXC. This is Tell It Like It Is. I'm Christina Malisoff, joined by my guest co-host, retired attorney, former supervisor for the town of Kinderhook, minority leader of the Columbia County Board of Supervisors, Doug McGivney. Hi, Doug.
Hello, Christina.
Nice to see you. Doug, you've arranged and really pretty much set up this program, so I want to thank you ahead of time for your hard work. Who will we be speaking to today?
You're very welcome, and our first guest, and hopefully we'll get together too before the end of the program because they are both contributors, but Kevin Cahill, who is an assemblyman from below this area, the Kingston area, but more importantly, he's chairman of the Energy Committee for New York State, and it's where I first saw him at a press conference concerning the manipulation of the energy markets. As a matter of fact, he was the subject of a couple of articles following that. One of them was headlined, Cahill Tackles Manipulation in the Energy Market.
Okay, and then
And that's what we're going to talk about.
Our Assemblywoman Dee Dee
and
Barrett.
Assemblywoman Dee Dee Barrett, who is the Assemblywoman from the district we're sitting in. And she will be here to discuss not only this, but even though she's only been in the Assembly a few months, she has introduced a very relevant bill concerning this problem.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. What we have actually Assemblyman Kevin Cahill on the line with us right now. So let's just jump right in. Let me see if I can bring him on. Can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, very good.
Terrific.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us here on WGXC Community Radio for Columbia and Greene Counties. The great thing about community radio is that there are no commercials, and we will be able to, for 1 hour, go into depth into a very important issue, which was, I would say, nominally covered in the media. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Doug to ask our first question.
Mr. Chairman, this is Doug McGivney. I'm sitting here in the studio with Christina and others. I'm surrounded by computers and microphones, and I have a headset on. But I certainly welcome you and appreciate your coming on to speak to the people of Columbia and Greene Counties. Because what you said at that AARP press conference was really so enlightening. And I thought we would like to go a little depth into that. Now, the headline in one of the papers was, Cahill, you, Mr. Chairman, tackles manipulation in energy market. Would you tell us more about the manipulation, and then we'll get to your solution that you and Dee Dee apparently have worked out.
Thank you, and it's a great privilege to be on the air with you. This is a terrific community asset, this WGXC, and I listen to it as frequently as I can on my way up and down the New York.
Very good.
I'm just going to ask you if you can speak more directly into the receiver.
I am. Okay. Is this better?
Or speak up. Yeah, that's better. Okay. Thank you.
Terrific. The market manipulation that was the subject of our press conference and subsequent letters that we've written was conducted by Constellation Energy Commodities Group in the summer of 2008. And essentially, in sum, what Constellation did was manipulate the virtual markets of energy sales in such a way that caused a depression in the prices and then a large spike in the prices and resulted in what was determined to be by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to be a very significant unjust enrichment and violation of market rules.
Hmm.
The result was that Constellation was able to secure multi-millions of dollars, in fact, hundreds of millions of dollars in unearned profits just as a result of, for all intents and purposes, computer manipulation of the market.
Wow.
Four of their traders were dismissed and prohibited from, I shouldn't say dismissed, they were prohibited from trading in this market ever again. Constellation had a fine that was levied against it to the tune of $245 million.
I wanted to ask, first of all, this is pretty amazing, who is Constellation Energy and why are they controlling the markets? This is a private corporation or group?
Well, actually, Constellation is no more, because a short time ago, in fact, on the same day that they settled with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, they were sold. And they were sold to a company called Exelon. So now they are Exelon, and they were sold for $7.9 billion. So I think we can see right up front that, the energy field, as your previous program, talking about the tar sands in Alberta, was pointing out, the energy field is an extremely lucrative area, a place where large profits are made and huge amounts of money are change hands every single day. In this instance, Constellation is a multifaceted company, but in this instance, they were involved in the generation and sale of electricity.
Well, how? Okay, so they don't produce electricity; they actually market it.
They actually do both.
Okay, my question is: was that, first of all, who blew the whistle on them? How did we find this out? And then the second question is, who normally regulates this? Was this regulated by the government, or
that's one of the things that we tried to bring out in our meeting with the AARP group, and that is that although this was ultimately uncovered by the independent regulators, the regulators who were not affiliated theoretically with the producers in any way, shape, or form, although the producers are strongly represented on the board of the regulators. We did not have the opportunity to discover it through consumer protection groups, because here in New York State, consumer protection groups have, for all intents and purposes, gone away. In the 1990s, there were 33 people employed in the Consumer Protection Board. There was a Citizens Utility Board. There was an organization that evolved called the Public Utility Law Project. There were a great number of local consumer protection boards that were involved in keeping an eye on what was going on in the then-regulated energy market. In the late 1990s, the energy markets became deregulated, and the transactions became more complex, but at the same time, the apparatus that was in place for protecting consumer rights was, for all intents and purposes, dismantled. So this was initially brought to the attention of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission through an organization called the Independent System Operator. And the Independent System Operator is a private, not-for-profit group in New York State that's made up of everybody involved in the energy field, except largely consumers, although there is an advisory member. And they are responsible for regulating the transmission of energy in New York State. Once it was discovered, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, called FERC, conducted an internal investigation, a non-public investigation, as they called it, and they found out that the trading scheme had a tremendous negative impact on consumers, and that it cost literally hundreds of millions of dollars in additional energy costs in one of the most expensive energy markets in the country, New York.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
Doug. Okay. I just wanted to say that Dee Dee Barrett has just joined us in the studio, and she is the assemblywoman for this this area.
103rd Assembly District.
Right. And Dee Dee, I just want to thank you for coming in. So Doug, if you wanted to continue with your question.
Yes, I was just going to ask a little more about FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Is this a case of first instance? My understanding is that there are prior cases, and there's also a pending U.S. Attorney's action against Morgan Stanley for energy manipulation. Is this more than this case?
Doug, first of all, thank you, and thank you for all the good work you've done with AARP and also in your communities. You've been the kind of activist that we've needed in these times when the organized advocacy has kind of dwindled. So thank you first for that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's nice.
The market manipulation in the field of energy is a pretty common occurrence. We've seen other manipulations that have been brought to justice, so to speak, over the past several years, including another example called the Lake Erie Loop Flow, which took advantage of both physics and the high demand of electricity in the summertime by claiming to be selling energy through one sort of electric highway, but really sending it through another and causing prices to skyrocket, causing congestion that sent prices through the roof. And in just several hours, one summer day, that entity, the entities involved in the Lake Erie Loop Flow, cost consumers hundreds of millions of dollars in just several hours. So market manipulation is not an isolated incident, nor is it acceptable. It's not something that's acceptable. What we are really lacking are the representatives who are dispassionate and disconnected from the energy field, but have the interests of consumers at heart. We used to have that. The Consumer Protection Board was out there. Public Utility Law Project was unbelievable. They had some of the best lawyers in the country in the field of energy working on these issues, and it was ultimately disbanded.
In that Erie, well, not just the Erie, but are there other cases of manipulation? First of all, in the Erie, and I did hear that, probably from you, by the way, from your staff, was there any kind of remuneration to the taxpayers once this was discovered?
Well, you know, sometimes there is and sometimes there isn't. One of the problems with electricity, I shouldn't say problems, one of the characteristics with electricity is that it follows the path of least resistance. And while we can refer back to contracts, we can't really refer back to what happens to those electrons. And so many times what one energy producer does may not directly affect their customers, but will have an impact on the market that's significantly larger. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, it's virtually impossible for the regulators, whether they be public regulators like the Department of Public Service or the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or not-for-profit private regulators like the Independent System Operator, it's virtually impossible for them to trace it back to those original customers. So what has happened is that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, in this instance, in the instance of Constellation and in other instances, have fashioned penalties that require the companies that violate the laws to pay substantial federal fines into the United States Treasury, but also to set aside a pool of funds to provide relief for consumers. And quite honestly, it would be an impossible challenge to go back and find the actual individual consumers who were impacted by this, but in many respects, we all were. So right now, FERC has designated $78 million to go back to New York State for whatever purposes ultimately are decided between various state agencies and FERC. What we're proposing to do is to take those very same resources and use them to create, among other things, a trust fund to reinvigorate consumer protection, to wake up that watchdog so we can start to look at the energy industry again from the perspective of the consumer who ultimately pays all the bills.
Well, before we get to that, let me just ask you, you'd use the term virtual trades.
Yes.
What exactly is that? I don't think most people would understand how that's working. Is it a derivative like the banks do? Or
in some respects, it is. What it is a computer-generated marketing mechanism that moves the price one way or another. And in fact, in a very paradoxical twist to this whole thing, the Constellation actually depressed prices and took advantage of depressed prices that then led to incredible price spikes. So it's essentially a virtual market, not the real market, not the market of you turn on a light and therefore you've bought an electron, you've purchased an electron. It's the virtual market where people are trading and determining how much they are going to charge you for that electron. So it was manipulation of that market that led to the detriment that the consumers of the Northeast experienced in that instance.
Do you think, Mr. Chairman, that Wall Street is behind this? I notice the U.S. Attorney General has an action against Morgan Stanley for a similar, but not the same, manipulation. Like, even in this case, who is the counterbalance or counterparty on the bet made by Constellation on the spread?
Well, that's an interesting question, Doug. I think that the what was determined by both the FERC and the independent system operator is that Constellation had an impact on the entire system, and that meant that everybody who uses electricity was impacted by it.
Okay. On the New York independent system operator, that is not, even though it says New York State, that is not a state agency, correct?
No, it is not. It is not a state agency, and in fact, it is represented, has a very strong representation of these very same folks. The power producers of New York State command a significant percentage of the vote on the Independent System Operator Board. The membership of the board, that is the policy-making part of this entity, it comes from a variety of different places, but a significant block of both transmission operators, for-profit transmission operators, and for-profit energy producers can dictate policy of what occurs there. One of the things that we've pushed for in years past is to have an independent watchdog as part of the commission, as part of the board of the independent system operator. In response to that, the ISO has designated an internal consumer representative, someone who they pay, who is paid by the very same people that we're seeking to regulate, and is not in a position of authority, that is, does not have a voting position on the board, to represent consumer interests. We think that's a fine effort, but falls way short of what is actually necessary.
Yes, and I just read that that same person has now been promoted to their executive staff, by the way. So.
Well, that's not surprising.
I just want to interject. Maybe I'm being extremely naive, but it seems to me that that if there's a profit motive involved, I mean, that's the whole point of government, I thought, regulating certain public utilities, is to take the profit motive out, and that government would be less liable to have these kind of infractions occur. Does that make sense?
Well, sure.
What happened?
I mean, I don't know that the role of the government agency is to take the profit out of the transaction. It is to assure that a fair profit is made so that the market can continue, especially in a deregulated market,
right,
but not an unfair profit, not an unfair profit that results in price gouging, among other things. Market manipulation, that is, using the very tools we put in place to make the market possible, is prohibited by the participants in that market. So if they take those tools and they use them to cheat the consumer, they've broken the rules that they've agreed to participate in the market in the first place. But let's remember that New York State is a deregulated market, and what that means is that electricity that we buy is subject to the market rate. It is no longer a regulated rate. So if somebody wants to sell you electricity at one price, they have a market if somebody wants to buy it. And the way our system operates is that it should be pretty much perfectly balanced between supply and demand. So there's not really an oversupply most of the time, and that allows for the market to determine the price. When somebody manipulates that market, it causes the price to go off that chart and is no longer a subject of market conditions, and as a result, unfair profits are made, and that's what we saw in the instance of Constellation.
Well, just to follow up with that, are there other states where markets are still regulated? How does that work?
Yes. Most states are regulated markets, and they work in different ways. However, the idea of an RTO, a regional transmission organization, which is what the independent system operator is, exists all across the country. Mm. These markets exist. Energy producers there are different kinds of energy producers in this country. Some are public utilities, some are privately held public utilities, some are municipal utilities, some are public authorities, and some are pure private enterprise for-profit entities, and that's what we have in New York. Mm. So there's a variety of different ways that electricity is produced and sold in this country in terms of the business model, but we operate in a purely competitive environment.
And that competitive environment is supposed to be working through the independent system operators. Is that right?
That's correct. And the independent system operator actually governs the market.
Okay. And I just read, and you probably know this, but that the you mentioned Exelon, who purchased on the same day that Constellation was fined. There was a merger, so Constellation is now Exelon, as you mentioned.
Yes.
Do you know that the CEO of Exelon is on the New York ISO?
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. Members of the board of the ISO, some members of the board of the ISO do come from the energy industry. In fact, a significant percentage of the members of the board of the ISO come from the energy industry, and they regulate energy. They're regulating themselves, and that was part of the deregulatory process. If we could turn back the clock and we could argue deregulation all over again, I think I would take the side that says, no, let's continue in a regulated market, and let's make sure that when we create these entities that govern the market, that we guarantee consumer representation.
Right.
But let me tell you how bad it's gotten, and I want to get to a piece of legislation that Assemblywoman Barrett has introduced. How bad it's gotten is that we have a separate energy planning board. And on that energy planning board were designated consumer representatives. And when the Consumer Protection Board was disbanded, the consumer protection representative was gone and never replaced. The energy planning board is the overarching body that will determine long-term energy plans for New York State. And at this exact moment, there is no consumer representative there. And to Dee Dee's credit, in her first few months in office, she put in legislation to rectify that. And I'll let her tell you more about that.
Thanks.
Yes,
thanks.
And I was about to ask you, Dee Dee, about
thank
that
you.
Because it's really amazing. Again, you mentioned the 2 or 3 months in office to have come up with this, which may ultimately be a solution here. So.
Well, first I want to thank you, Doug, and I want to thank Kevin for his leadership in this area. He's been so thorough and so conscientious and so knowledgeable, and I think you're a phenomenal resource for all of us. And it was my pleasure to have Kevin as a co-sponsor on this bill, which basically authorizes the Secretary of State to appoint a person from the Utility Intervention Unit to be the consumer protection person on the State Energy Planning Board. And as Kevin said, we have not had that. I mean, this Utility Intervention Unit, which was once a body of you know, a couple dozen people or more, is now down to something like 1.5, if that. And so we need to have these resources put back into that and be sure that the consumer, for some reason, seems to be the last one that anybody thinks about anymore, but it's all of us. Is protected. And I think the advocacy, Doug, that you've shown and others is really, really important. And the only way that that these voices will continue to be heard is if you push your legislators to recognize this.
Right. Do you think, Assemblyman Barrett, that the IUI, or UIU, rather,
the Utilities
Intervention Unit,
right.
Could get some of this money that you and the chair are working to get for New York State out of disgorgement?
That would certainly be an ideal way to use this money and restore that position and restore that representation.
Before we actually go there, first of all, I'd like to talk about, before we actually talk about how the money will be spent or how it could be spent, is this exactly how we came up with how the $245 million penalty, how did that break down? It was a multi-state settlement. Could you talk to that, Kevin or Dee Dee?
Yes. The amount was part of a settlement agreement with Constellation, and I assume, just coincidences happen occasionally, but being the same day that they were transferring their assets to Exelon, I think it was probably related to that incident as well. But they agreed with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to this outcome. And the result was about $110 million, I believe. I'm trying to recall. I think it was about $110 million that was given to the United States Treasury.
Right.
And then the remainder was divided up between those systems where the impact was felt. And the PJM system, which is the independent system operator or the regional transmission operator for mid-Atlantic states, got about $6 million. The New England independent system operator got about $20 million to divide between their states for some particular purpose. And New York, which apparently was the most impacted by this, got $78 million. Now, where it stands at this moment is that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has called for submission on the part of state agencies to how they would spend that money. And one of our concerns is that if it is not used for consumer protection, if it is not used for consumer purposes, then we are doomed to find ourselves in similar market manipulation circumstances in the future.
Do you think the trust fund that you and DDRD, Assemblywoman Barrett, do you think that trust fund can be utilized to fund eventually a consumer protection bureau just limited to this? Now, I realize that we have an immediate problem to solve, that is how to get the money and to get it, and you don't have an agency you can give it to, so legislation may be needed. Is that why you're working with a trust? Is that the idea behind putting it into a trust for consumers?
One of the reasons we want a trust is because there's been a recognition that when the axe falls, one of the things that it chops off is consumer representation. When you go from 33 representatives for consumer purposes in the government and funding for external representatives for consumer purposes and that existed in the 1990s down to essentially one or two or three in the current year, it's clear that it has not been a budgeting priority. So a trust fund would provide a permanent source or a very long-term source of funding for consumer representation. You know, it's not all that's necessary, Doug. What we want to do is make sure that consumers have a place at the table when these matters are being discussed. And it's not just energy market manipulation that consumers can be victimized by. You might recall more recently the acquisition by a company called Iberdrola of the New York State Electric and Gas Corporation. In that transaction, because of the intervention of the Consumer Protection Board and the watchful eye of the Public Utility Law Project, over $220 million was required to be given back to consumers in the form of direct benefits before that sale would be approved by the Public Service Commission. Right now, before the Public Service Commission, is another sale of a utility, Central Hudson, which serves the rest of the Hudson Valley, where NYSEG doesn't serve and where National Grid doesn't serve.
And it's a Canadian company that's bought it, too.
A Canadian company named Fortis is seeking to purchase Central Hudson, and their proposal is a mere fraction of what Iberdrola was required. And I can't help but wonder whether if there were watchdogs on behalf of consumers, if that package at the first instance would have been proposed at a significantly higher rate.
Do you think, Mr. Chairman, that as things stand now with the ISOs, and the other organizations, which are FERC-driven or FERC creations, that we, as a nation, not just New York State, are subject to the Enron-type manipulation, which this seems very similar to?
Well, there were some of those almost exact same market manipulations that actually caused massive brownouts and blackouts all over California, brought about what many people believe to be the largest single regional recession in the history of the United States. Those sorts of market manipulations have occurred in our market, and certainly anything that takes this very delicately balanced machinery that we put in place to assure market governance, anything that tinkers with that for the purposes of personal greed runs the risk of really calamitous outcomes. So I think that there's every reason to think that we should be doing this not just for the residential consumer, but for the entire health of our regional economy as well.
We're going to take a very quick break. Would you mind holding on, Assemblyman Cahill, just for a minute, and we'll be right back?
I think I warned your staff. There has to be radio identification and that kind of thing. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Hey, surfer kids. Ride the waves right here in the Hudson Valley. Check out the Tiki Bar every third Sunday of the month from 6 to 8 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. The Tiki Bar, an intoxicating mix of tropical, surf, and alternative sounds on WGXC, listener-supported community radio.
Okay, so we're back. This is Christina Malisoff. This is Tell It Like It Is every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Community Radio. My guest host today is Doug McGivney. Doug McGivney is a retired attorney, former supervisor for the town of Kinderhook, and minority leader of the Columbia County Board of Supervisors. And he has arranged, worked very hard to put this program together. We are joined by, in studio, with Assemblywoman of the 103rd Assembly District, Dee Dee Barrett. Thank you so much for being here, Dee Dee.
Pleasure.
And also Kevin Cahill of the 101st Assembly District of the Kingston area, and he is also the chair of the Assembly Energy Committee. And we have been talking for the last half hour, and we will be wrapping up at 11, an in-depth discussion of energy manipulation and deregulation here in New York State, and subsequent fining of the Constellation Energy Commodities Group. And with that, we just left off talking about Enron and how that Enron, almost equivalent of what happened here in New York State, set off an economic depression, a regional depression in that area. And I'm wondering what role the federal government has is playing, or is are they is there any legislation on the horizon to deal with this?
One of the things that has happened is that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has somewhat beefed up its investigatory division, and it does spend a little more time monitoring for market manipulation than it did in the past. The independent system operator has done the same thing, but the problem that exists is it's almost always after the fact, particularly for these calamitous manipulations that have cost New York ratepayers alone over the past several years over $500 million. So right now those regulatory entities kind of react. They take a look at something that happened and they say, what was its impact, and let's decide what we're going to do about it. Sort of the horses out of the barn approach to regulation. We need more. We need to make sure that consumers are represented up front. And one of the best ways to do it is to make sure that those who would take take advantage of the tools of the market, if they are aware of the fact that there's a consumer watchdog looking over them, I think that they would be a little more hesitant to get involved in these things in the first instance.
These civil actions that are brought, let me ask you, are there criminal potentials here? Should there not be Attorney General, U.S. Attorney General, because I think it's federal, but processes?
Doug, I think in some instances some of these have been referred for criminal prosecution. By and large, these are voluntary associations that have agreed to certain private rules of operation, and that's one of the great hazards of energy deregulation, is that we've turned what seems naturally to have been a government function over into private hands.
It's become a commodity like so many others.
It becomes something that is less susceptible to criminal supervision than it was in the past. So, you know, imagine somebody walking into a store and just changing the labels and all the prices and then going through the register and saying, this is what I should pay. They would wind up in court and ultimately in jail. These folks have done the same thing with electricity across the country, and they, for all intents and purposes, get their wrists slapped in many instances, paying fines that are a fraction of what they've enriched themselves with. So we need really strong consumer protection. And if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about what the next step is here.
Please.
Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has called upon state agencies to make a submission to them of how they think those proceeds ought to be returned to the ratepayers of New York. What we've done in conjunction with the AARP, and we're hoping to actually file a brief this week together with the Public Utility Law Project, folks who are back up and running again thanks to the stuff we did in the Assembly in the budget this year. We got them a little bit of funding to get started again. And we're hoping to file a brief this week to go to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and the administrative law judge to say, before you agree to any distribution of the proceeds, please remember consumers, and we're going to give them specifics. 2 weeks ago, I had occasion to have a meeting with one of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission commissioners, Mr. Mueller, who happens to be the head of the commission right now. And in that meeting, I asked him to please elaborate on the whole Constellation circumstance, and I wanted to find out what exactly the process was. The administrative law judge, who in many people's eyes is the end of the process, is merely making a recommendation to the commission. The commission is appointed by the President of the United States. So we've asked people to make an appeal directly to the President, to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, to the Public Service Commission, to the Governor of the State of New York, and to the other parties that have a place at the table, so to speak, to call upon them to make sure that this money is spent directly for consumers in the area of consumer representation, home energy assistance, and energy efficiency programs.
Right, and can you talk a little bit about those programs? The enhanced weatherization HEAP and the energy efficient rebate appliance program?
Sure. These are programs that just pay themselves back many times over. These are programs that are usually funded from isolated pools of money. Sometimes it's federal grants, the one-time federal grants that come through. Sometimes it's fines of this nature that are used for that purpose. And ultimately what it does, it's used as sort of a bank to go in and provide energy rebates and low-interest loans for people to weatherize their homes and cut down their energy use, or to update their appliances. So many people are operating with old refrigerators, old air conditioners, heating systems that aren't efficient, and a number of other appliances that might even surprise some folks to find out that they're not energy efficient. And this reduces their reliance on electricity and energy sources for the rest of their lives. And it's a very small investment for a very great return. We think that a significant portion of these proceeds ought to be used for that purpose, to provide a long-term permanent benefit for the great wrong that's been done to consumers in New York State.
I also wanted you to comment on the fact that New York State energy costs is next to the highest in the country, and that conservation is actually one of the number one things that you can do to reduce energy use and cost.
If I can just go back to Assemblywoman Barrett's proposal on the Energy Planning Board, having a consumer representative on that board to advocate for such things as energy conservation, as energy efficiency, weatherization programs, low-interest loan programs to allow people to participate in alternative energy sources is one of the ways we are going to get there. So many people in that room, and I happen to be the representative for the New York State Assembly on the board, so many people in that room are heavily entrenched in the energy field, and their mindset, their very paradigm, the model that they follow is an energy consumption model. It is only the consumer who starts to think about maybe saving a watt of electricity here, saving a therm of heat there, to actually reduce costs and make life more comfortable. So once again, Assemblywoman Barrett's proposal is very important, and we're hoping to see it become law this year, so that we will start to have a stronger voice for consumers on
Kevin,
energy.
I just wanted to add that I think we've seen over and over that consumers, when educated, are more than willing to look at ways to conserve energy and to change their lifestyles and integrate practices into their families. And so the fact that that we can help them get the information they need to do this more effectively and be at that table is so critical.
In the last minutes that we have, I want to talk about New York State's energy future. A couple of days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, on Democracy Now!, Bill McKibben, the head of 350.org, said that one day in Germany, Germany generated with solar panels more than half of the energy it used in that particular day. That's pretty astounding. So with that said, what are we doing here in this country, particularly New York State, to be at the forefront of using green energy technology? And maybe you can also comment on the issue of hydrofracking right now, which is, I know, is a whole other show, but...
I was going
to
say, the last couple minutes.
Oh, no. Well,
I think of that, too. That's another program.
Well, Christina, first on the issue of New York's role... With energy, we've made unbelievable strides in the past couple of years. We went from being one of the most backward states when it came to what's called net metering. That is when you produce your own electricity and you can actually end up selling your excess electricity back to the grid, mm-hmm. to being one of the leaders in the field in the United States of America, having one of the most aggressive net metering programs out there. But let me use that as an example. We reformed the net metering law 4 years ago. And 3 years ago, the utilities found a way to manipulate around it to prevent people from participating, so we had to go in and legislate again. Mm-hmm. But we did so, and we've continued to move forward on net metering. We have the Green Jobs, Green New York program, which allows people of all income levels to participate by borrowing through their electric bill against the savings they will receive in future years to perform energy efficiency measures on their homes. So those are two terrific programs that we have. The state of New Jersey, the state of Massachusetts, and the state of Connecticut have been extremely aggressive in the area of developing solar energy, and New York has not been as much so. Mm. And we were hoping this year to see what we call the Solar Jobs Act become law, but it got bogged down in the politics of Albany. We're hoping to see a second opportunity if the Assembly and the Senate are called back to Albany, or see that organizations like NYSERDA, the Public Service Commission, and the Governor's Office take it under their own power to accelerate solar development here in New York State.
You know, before we end, I want your suggestions as what we, the public, can do to help you and Assemblywoman Barrett in getting this word out. And I know what you mean about the solar power. As a matter of fact, in reading that manipulation, not of Constellation, but of Morgan Stanley, there was extra power coming online, which should have taken the prices down. But because they manipulated unlawfully, according to the U.S. Attorney General, the DOJ, they kept the prices up for several years. I think it's 5 or 6 years. So even though we are making, as you mentioned, we are going ahead in some states, including our own, with alternate energy, it's not affecting prices because of the manipulation. So my thinking is, what can we do to help you, and you two have tackled it, seem to be the leaders in this whole area. What can we do to help you?
Well, I'll just speak briefly and then turn it over to Dee Dee for her suggestion. Mine is I would reach out to those folks who we put in charge of the energy markets in New York State, the folks at NYSERDA, the folks at the Department of Public Service, the Public Service Commission, the Governor's Energy Office itself, and let them know that we want strong consumer representation. We want to have an energy efficient future. We want to participate in alternative energy to the maximum extent possible, and then to back that up with maybe other public comments, letters to the editor, attending, as you personally did, Doug, organized meetings to get the message out. So those are the ways that I think it can be done. And in this particular instance, a letter sent off to the FERC Commission, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, saying, let's make sure that whatever we do with the proceeds of the settlement from the Constellation market manipulation, we make sure a significant portion is dedicated to consumer representation.
Very good. Very good.
I just would like to add that with this particular piece of legislation that I, Kevin and I have introduced, that it's A10579 in the last session, It's important that we hear specifically about that from the part of consumers, because if consumers make it known that they recognize that this is a missing link and that they're not part of the conversation and they insist on it in these same ways that Kevin was suggesting, letters to the editors, letters to legislators and to the governor and to the other agencies, I think that's the way we can start making these things happen. But it's really important that we be able to show that this is a public outcry, not just something coming from individual legislators.
I actually have a question for Doug, which is, Doug, you were at an AARP, and you can tell folks what that is, and New York Public Interest Research Group was there at this, which is what started you in this whole direction.
That's right. I happened to attend a press conference that was called by AARP, and Chairman Cahill was the most dynamic speaker, not the only speaker, but... probably took most of their time, right, Mr. Chairman? But you did very, very well, and that really piqued their interest. But Nyberg was there, AARP was there, Consumers Union of New York City was there, and a local, I say local, it's the Albany Area Association for the Elderly. So it was a broad-based consumer group, including the chairman.
And who organized that, Doug?
AARP organized
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was AARP that called it, and the participation was like I said. And all seemed to be on exactly the same page, being led by Assemblyman Cahill.
If I can make one more suggestion
sure.
on how people can participate, and I think this is one people are going to want to hear about. Get on the NYSERDA website, mm-hmm. find out what it takes to get an energy audit of your own home, mm-hmm. and then do that energy audit and look for ways to... pay for it that won't bust the budget. The energy audit is for all intents and purposes free, and it will tell you secrets about your house that if you overcome some of the energy hogs in your house, not only will you save a tremendous amount of money, but your life will become more comfortable. And any single individual can do that, and in the process they would be reducing their overall energy consumption, and that will have a direct impact on the market too. So on the NYSERDA website right now, you can apply for an energy audit. We'll tell you how to go about it. Some places you go through your utility. Some places you go through a local contractor. And they will go through your house and find maybe some expensive things, but maybe some very inexpensive ways to cut your energy consumption.
And NYSERDA is New York, NYSERDA, stands
yes, that's
for?
Correct.
Okay.
New York State Energy Research and Development Authority.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We're running out of time, and but I don't want to miss, because it's related, this is unbelievable, it goes from big to little, from Fed to town of Ghent. There's a problem in the town of Ghent with electrical company line setting, and I know Assemblyman Barry is much on top of that, and I thought I'd give her just a minute
sure.
to mention it, and we are running out of time.
We have a little bit of time, so
okay.
please don't rush.
Go.
Yeah.
So right after this, I'm going off to a meeting on this very subject, so this is very timely. The town of Ghent is, through the most circuitous way, residents found out about plans for NYSEG, which is New York State Energy and Gas, they have proposed a power line which would wind its way through the town and the surrounding area. This is some of the most bucolic, pristine countryside mm-hmm. in Columbia County, which, as we all know, is as pristine and beautiful as anyone could want. And it goes through historic homes, over Art Omai, which is, you know, only in the last few years become such a center of economic development, bringing residents and artists from all over the region, not, you know, all over the state, to their beautiful sculpture garden and to their continuing programs and their artist in residence programs. This is an area that's attracted particularly young families. We've been all lamenting the fact that that our kids are leaving, they're moving elsewhere, there's no young families that are putting down roots here. And this is an area that has in the last years really worked hard to address all of those things, and successfully so. And here comes, without any information to me without, you know, any identification of why this is necessary. Just, you know, proposed this power line, and from what I understand, they even changed the route of the power line so they wouldn't have to deal with the town of Ghent. They made it over 10 miles, and we've been hearing...
What's the significance of making it over 10 miles?
If it's under 10 miles, then they need to deal with the municipality that where most of that is, and that was the original plan. It was, I understand, like 6.5 miles, and once they started getting... pushback from residents as the word got out, they came back with a different proposal, which made it something like 11 miles. So
that they would not have to deal with residents.
With the town. With the municipality itself. So we're off to a meeting this in a little bit about that. There's been a huge public outcry, and I think this is another example of where consumers, when they're motivated, can start making things happen. And we'd like to see that on lots of different levels. But I'll look forward to keeping you posted on this as we find out more. And at the moment, there were some errors in the way that the proposal was first introduced. And so it's gone by back to NYSERC to work on it. But, you know, this is definitely something that's in play at the moment.
Well, we actually do have just a few minutes left. I wanted to maybe throw this up to either one of you to comment on, which is back in May, Bernie Sanders, independent senator of Vermont, and Representative Keith Ellison teamed up to introduce legislation called the End Polluter Welfare Act. I don't know if either one of you are familiar with that, but it's basically to end... most of the most of the subsidies, which are supported by taxes, to the energy industries, coal, oil, and natural gas, and they're talking about saving an estimated $110 billion over the next 10 years. You know, for folks who are manipulating pricing. And building the consumers, should they continue getting subsidies? Is this
The subsidies actually distort the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we heard that solar power is not economical?
Mm.
Solar power is not economical because we've created this massive subsidy for the fossil fuel industry that makes it seem as though it's affordable, but in fact, many of those costs are socialized over the whole government, not only in the form of subsidies for energy companies, but in letting them get off the hook for the damage that they do to the environment and having others pay for that as well. As we go forward with an energy future, one of the things that we've advocated for in the Assembly, and Assemblywoman Barrett has certainly been a part of this, is that the entire life cycle of an energy source ought to be considered when we're determining the price. And right now, going back to the question that we didn't get to answer about fracking, the life cycle of natural gas ought to be considered, not just the market price of natural gas as it stands today, which appears to be low, but the impact on the environment, which has its own cost, not just societal but economic, has yet to be tallied. And so we're all for making sure that there's full accountability for all energy sources. And when we do that, we will find that some of the things that are now considered alternative energy will indeed become mainstream. Mm. And we can find ourselves in the same situation as nations like Germany, who have made a policy decision to wean themselves off of nuclear altogether and replace it with solar and wind.
Yeah, very important point. Thank you so much for addressing that. And we are actually out of time. I want to thank so much Doug McGivney for putting this together. Thank you so much, Assemblywoman Dee Dee Barrett, for coming in and taking time out of your morning to come in. And I really want to thank you, Kevin Cahill, Chair of the Assembly Energy Committee. You know your... Doug kept reassuring me, this guy really knows his stuff.
And he does.
And he does.
That's why we'll have you back on HydroFactoring, which you can't do in 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, anyway, thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Assemblyman.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
All right. And you were listening to Tell It Like It Is
Every Thursday morning on WGXC, my name is Christina Malisoff. This is Community Radio. Stay tuned for Al Jazeera English. And
at the top of the hour. Okay, let's take it away. I'm Jack Ross Pilkington, and you are listening to WGXC 90.7 Acre and Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Hi, this is Tom Rowe with WGXC, where we want to make 1940s-style radio with 2010 technologies. Towards that end, we want to play all sorts of radio theater, and every Thursday at 3 p.m. and every night at midnight, we'll have radio theater on your local airwaves. Sometimes it'll be old radio theater from the 40s, sometimes it'll be new, sometimes it'll be from international sources, and often it will be from our local contributors. So tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. and every midnight for radio theater on WGXC, your new community radio station, 90.7 FM.
Not so fast, son. There is still a way that each of you will have your say. Your holy oath I will preserve, and each will get what he deserves.
Come join us for an adaptation of the Canterbury Tales.
Performed by the Hudson Teen Theater Project.
On June 28th, 29th, 30th at 8 p.m. at the Basilica on 110 South Front Street.
Who are you so filled with glee? Who exactly might you be?
I am the wife of Bath. The wife of Bath am I. I had three husbands. They were rich. Rich and old and gray.
WGXC, founding underwriting support, is provided by the Columbia-Hudson Partnership, helping small companies start up and grow in Columbia County. Find out why small is the new smart at chpartnership.com.
This is Al Jazeera English, broadcast exclusively on the Pacifica Radio Network.
This is Al Jazeera.
Hello and welcome. Live from our headquarters in Doha, I'm Tony Harris. The top stories: campaigning comes to an end in Mexico. One of these three top contenders will soon be the next president. Thousands of angry workers in Argentina take their demands to the president's doorstep.
I'm Harry Fawcett reporting from the Kuala Lumpur Stock Exchange on the world's second biggest initial public offering this year. But Park privatizing Malaysia's biggest palm oil plantation group hasn't come without controversy.
Gunmen raid a pro-government TV station in Syria as calls for Bashar al-Assad to quit get louder. On the countdown till decision day,